All right. So, welcome to Voices from the Dark. I hope we're recording. I believe we're recording. This is not always
It's not always a fact.
Yeah, it's not always a fact. I've got Evgeny here again. You've probably noticed his voice. He just said something. Mistaken Ideas number 4. That's why he's here. Before we move on to the episode, I just want you to always remember this one thing. Stay up to date on shit from Voices from the Dark. Check the website for more information. That's my intro. That's my announcements. That's all I'm going to say. Let's just get into it. Actually, I do have another announcement. Sorry about that. I wanted to make it short and sweet. So as you probably know, the Voices from the Dark is going to be featured or doing a collaboration with Radio Banda Larga Berlin, or RBL Berlin for short. This episode, we're recording on the 18th of September, but it'll air on the 23rd, which is a Sunday, at 4 p.m. The first actual live one will be on the 30th of September, also at 4 p.m. So, biased sample. That's what we're here for. It's the fallacy that we talked about in Mistaken Ideas number 4, which I believe was episode 14.
Yeah.
We've got Michael Wythe, as usual, with us, Mastering Logical Fallacies. We've also got the, just to be clear, he's not actually with us. It's the book he wrote. And then we got a couple of definitions and shit from logicallyfallacious.com and nizcore.org. I don't even know.
Yeah, this is a fucking shady website.
It's virtually the same as logicallyfallacious.com. They're all pretty much the same.
And we have the power of the mighty internet with us.
Yeah, we do. But I don't think we're going to have to pull any bad boys up. but anyway, there we go. That's biased sample fallacy. And it's quite simple. I don't know. Evgeny, do you want to read what are you going to read?
Yeah, I'm going to read what the definition of the biased sample is given by the logicalfallacious.com website, which we read a bunch of definitions right before we hit record on this episode, and mm-hmm. we agreed that this one is the best one, at least. This is the one that we like, so it's the best one for us. So the description goes like this. Drawing a conclusion about a population based on a sample that is biased or chosen in order to make it appear the population on average is different than it actually is.
Okay.
So this is a very interesting one in my opinion, and why I think like that is because it's really tightly related to one of the topics that Steve exclusively points out that we should not speak about on the podcast, which is politics.
Oh.
So I would say that politicians use this one a lot.
Yeah, they're just so I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. It only applied to the ones that had like a guest or co-host, Evgeny. Basically, this is not a politics. It's not a political podcast. It's an educational podcast. And what he's talking about is that there's two rules: no trolling and no politics. Obviously, we could talk about politics, but even it's just like we try to stay away from it just to keep the educational aspect moving. And if we do talk about politics, they can be used as examples, not as things to argue.
No, I disagree on that. I think that we can talk about politics as a science in general. We could talk about politics, yeah, but not about opinions in politics and where you land on the spectrum.
Yeah, so no arguments about
exactly
political positions.
Exactly. But we can talk about politics. I think that it's fair.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Let me explain myself why I think that politicians do that all the time. Is every time that you hear some politician, it doesn't matter from which aisle he's coming from, telling some facts about the population of the country that he's running for representing in whatever, or for other countries, for example, like the levels of immigration, where the immigrants are coming from, what type of immigrants are coming from, violent
political
or not.
Issues.
Yeah, political issues. And every time that you hear saying something in very precise terms, you should always have this fallacy in mind, because it's very lucrative to skew the data in your favor.
I have to stop you there. I really love the way you said that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Always. So that's one of the goals of this podcast, right? Is to be able to bring up these podcasts or bring these podcasts, these fallacies, like kind of access them in your brain, like always have them ready, like Evgeny said, you know. So, and that he gave a really good context. Whenever somebody's speaking in very specific terms and using, I'm assuming, like you meant also when they're using facts and figures and shit.
Yeah, definitely.
You should always start thinking about this. And even the one that we talked about that led to this. What was the last one? Fake precision, right?
Fake precision, yeah. Exactly. They can be intertwined.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Definitely with this one. Like, you can have fake precision about this biased sample fallacy,
yeah.
Because you can basically state a fake number that you just came up with, stating like a very fake study, like the ones that are being made in order to use that fallacy in their advantage.
So let's look at some examples maybe. Should we, since logically fallacious has that good definition?
Yeah, maybe we should go with that. I don't like the...
Oh, you don't like the examples?
I don't like the examples that I gave. I think they're like too... like written in two logical terms.
Okay, so then let's take a look at the Michael Whitey, or Whitey, whatever his name is. He's probably got an example. Oh, look. He's got an example.
All right, we have a winner.
Yeah. Yes. I might as well read a bit from what Michael Whitey says. Where a general conclusion about a population is drawn from the behavior of a small sample... when the sample does not accurately represent the population as a whole. That's also quite a good definition.
Yeah.
And you can even like rephrase biased sample as, according to this statement here, as a non-representative sample. That's, I think, also quite clear to rephrase it like that.
Yeah.
So example from Michael Whitey. A poll of 100 Americans showed that 98% believed in God. Hence, 98% of Americans believe in God. The pollster did not mention that the sample consisted of congregants of the First Pentecostal Church of Alabama. So that's a biased sample.
And yeah, it's
and
a very biased sample. That's
narrow. That's an extreme. But I think it's quite clear example what it is.
Yeah,
you know, obviously it's extreme, but
none
of these are not the kind of polls that are the tricky ones. Because the tricky ones will actually possibly even claim that, you know, it was a random sample. So I think that the biased sample must, one of the requirements for it to be like a really tricky thing is that if there's other sort of like lies and shit attached to it.
But you know what I just...
Because how, like, no one would ever fall for this, right? If you told them that a poll of 100 Americans showed 98% believed in God, hence 98% of Americans believe in God. If you told them that everyone in the poll was from a church or whatever, you know, you're going to be like, oh, obviously that's a biased sample. Like, I think most people would be able to point that out.
But even
it's when it gets trickier.
Even at the beginning, you don't even need to say what type of people was the sample, because you start with 100 Americans, like in a land of 330 million people.
Ah, but that's a different, I think that's a different fallacy, but I know what you're talking about. It's like a limited sample or a...
yeah, exactly. It's not statistically...
relevant.
Statistically relevant at all, yeah.
Interesting.
You know, it's not relevant. Yeah. Like you're questioning way too small amount of people in order to get like a good feeling of a mixed crowd of that.
Yeah, that would be an interesting thing to look up right now to see if there's a difference between the or if there's a name for a fallacy that is like, you know, basically like it's too small of a sample. I think actually there is. It's a sample size fallacy, maybe.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on, Evgeny, tell a story while I look this up.
No, I don't want to tell a story, actually. I would like to speak a little bit more about that fallacy with the church. So actually,
okay,
the actual numbers, I think, is that 51% of people in the United States believe that God exists.
What?
Yeah. I think that this is an actual number from a statistically valid study, and I think that
that's
this is
bullshit.
Yeah, might be. Might
not. Whatever. Go on. And what is? And is this going to lead to a sample bias or biased sample?
No, it's not going to lead to a biased sample. I was actually wanted to say that even though it's not 98%, it's still more than half of the population of the U.S. believe that, which is, wow, what a thing to, I don't know, what a thing to entertain. Like 51%.
Yeah,
of
but
the
what does it mean to, what was the thing, believe in religion or believe in God?
No, believe that God exists.
Okay, so yeah,
so,
I mean,
so it's a very, very strict answer. They believe that God exists.
Yeah, that's, but it's also quite general.
No. It is general, but it captures that you believe that some sort of a deity or an entity is alive and that you call God. It doesn't matter. Like, that's the question. Does God exist?
Now I think you're inferring all that stuff. Like, you know, just because you believe in God doesn't mean you believe God is alive. Those are two separate things. But now I think it's we're sort of way off the bias sample topic.
I don't think that you can think of in terms that God is alive or dead, because God actually transcends life.
Right, but what if I told you I believe in God, but I think he's not alive. He's not a real being.
It doesn't matter.
He is not a he.
But you still believe in God. What is God? An omnipresent, omni... What was the other? Omni...
Maybe, you know what would be interesting? There's something that's referenced in both the Logically Fallacious and then the... What was that other website?
Yeah, the shady one.
NIS4. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, the other website. Basically, they mentioned that... maybe this is the actual fallacy that I was trying to come up with. Holy shit. They compare it... Both websites compare it to the hasty generalization fallacy. Maybe that's the thing where you have a small sample. And actually... Well, Jesus, you might have hit the nail on the head with that, man. Did you read ahead in the...
No,
in the
no, I'm just a wonder boy.
A wunderkind.
Yeah.
Coming at you live, semi-live from Berlin. We speak German here.
No, we don't.
Speak for yourself, I speak German.
No, you don't.
Hey! All right, so hasty generalization is also known as... No, I'm going to give you the description. From logicallyfallacious.com.
We have to edit this part out.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, God, Evgeny. You're going down on the on this episode. You're going down as sort of like a pussy for saying that. Because this shit is getting into the... It's getting in. I mean, there's no... I don't edit. You obviously know this. Listen, you trolled yourself just now. And I said, no fucking trolling. Don't make me take a break. I'm trying to read hasty generalization here. I'm sorry that I had to reprimand you in front of all these people, but just take a chill pill. Yeah, I said chill pill. I did. I'm old.
Yeah, you are.
So a hasty generalization. Drawing a conclusion based on a small sample size. You read ahead.
No, I didn't.
You totally read ahead. You're a freaking, what do you call that?
No,
a
but
teacher's pet.
No, but you
we don't
like,
even have a teacher.
You can expect that, you know?
Like all right, so
with the other one that
so basically, drawing a conclusion based on a small sample size rather than looking at statistics that are much more in line with the typical or average situation. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, these guys have both pointed something out that Evgeny just naturally, you know, he's a natural fallacy detector.
Yeah,
that's why he's on the show, because you know I get tired. I get tired, but there's a bunch more examples.
But listen,
that's hasty generalization.
I think that with the first example we gave from the biased sample, with the 100 people, 100 American people were polled.
Yeah. Within that biased sample, there was also a hasty generalization.
Exactly. So it was a good example to represent both of those fallacies at the same
time.
Actually,
yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I think that we should talk about both of those right now. So we just brought up both of them, so we can kind of like dissect both of those fallacies. And I think that the hasty generalization and the bias sample fallacy, they are pretty fascinating on their own. But I think that the combination, this hybrid that they create, it's even more dangerous and even more deceptive than...
I sort of like that. I like that hybrid fallacy.
Yeah.
Because maybe there's like a bunch of those, and like, oh, that would be a cool like thing to come up with for the next episode, or for even every episode, we can come up with hybrid fallacies. That's a great idea. I'm gonna write that down on the pink card.
Yeah. So, from kind of like of perspective of just thinking the fallacies on their own, not like more abstractly thinking about them, not attaching them to any particular situation. Yeah, you can say that using a hybrid of two can maximize your potential to deceive someone. Like, you know,
for
you
sure.
Can be pretty precise, or at least sound pretty precise, on two different levels for people. Yeah. And even though they might not be aware that they're fascinated by two different things at the same time, I think that it is possible to be aroused by that type of language, this type of expression.
That it works.
I think it definitely works.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the main reasons we're doing this, right? It's because it definitely does work. This is not... We're not doing this just because we're bored. This is like... I sort of, in some way, feel like I need to do this. I need to, like, know
all
this shit.
It's like taking the magnifying glass and looking yourself and the way that you think about stuff and the way that you use those fallacies, because this is The one very funny thing about doing this, at least for me, is that when we talk about those fallacies, like, the first thing that comes to my mind is, how exactly am I doing that in my life? Like, where do I use that? Do I use it in my favor? Do I gain something by doing that? For sure.
I would say sure. It varies, you know, like, from day to day, situation to situation.
But you definitely are doing that. Like,
but what I'm trying to say is that, you know, it varies to the extent that, like, everyone's using these fallacies, or, you know, everyone's using fallacies in general, like one or two or three or whatever, however many ones they're using. And it's just like a daily interaction that we all are, like, just like throwing fallacies at each other. And, like, sometimes one of them sticks to one person, and you know, so it's like, if we're talking, having a conversation, and I'm trying to convince you of some shit, And my fallacy beats your fallacy. It's like, you know.
Think of it of that way. Think of it of you're living in the 1970s. If you don't know anything about the fallacies, you're living in the 1970s, and if you want to talk with someone, and this someone is not directly next to you, if you want to communicate with them using, I don't know, your voice, not in a written form, you have to call them on a landline. You know, you're calling those people on landline. So this is you without any preparation about logical fallacies. Then when you listen to our podcast and kind of thinking about this stuff on your own and researching a little bit, you are in the 90s and you're one of the very few people that have a cell phone.
It's 20 years later.
It's fucking huge. It's inconvenient, but at least you can speak with those people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to.
You have a mobile telephone.
Mobile telephone.
Communications.
And how this translates to the fallacies, like, you don't have all the conveniences to recognize every fallacy in the act, but you have two or three or five in your arsenal, and every time that it comes up, you're like, I know that. Like, this maybe is the, I don't know, the biased sample or the hasty generalization. And you're like, I just fucking found out about that. Like, that's cool. And when you're going deeper and deeper into, understanding how we communicate with each other in these logical parameters, like, that we establish when we're talking about things, knowing most of the fallacies and being fluent in them is living in the present with a smartphone. Like, you can communicate with everyone everywhere.
I like your little millennial fucking analogy. No, it's like, back in the 70s, everybody had to talk on the telephone. In the 90s, one guy had a cell phone. Now in the 2018, everybody's got a smartphone.
A fucking genius phone, yeah.
But, you know, fucking the niece of Inspector Gadget had the best. Penny Gadget? What was her name? Penny. She had a freaking book. And it was like the pages. Each page was like a computer screen. That was some crazy shit. We still don't have that. We don't have books.
You can do that if you want to now.
Nah, but she had like, she only had one.
We don't need that.
It wasn't mass produced.
We don't need that as a product. Like, that's stupid. Why would you produce something like that?
How dare you?
Why would you do that? If it was a cool idea and actually usable, we would have had those books by now.
All right, now you're getting offensive. I told you no trolling on the show.
All right, let's get back to the to the fallacies.
So let me take a look at some of these examples.
Yeah, but we can freestyle. I think it's good. Like, we can create some examples right now for you.
I'm going to read one and then we freestyle one.
Yeah.
All right. Example number one of a hasty generalization. Oh, well, no, we should go back to, to bias sample. Example number one of a bias sample fallacy from logicallyfallacious.com. The fuck? Based on a survey of 1,000 American homeowners, 99% of the this is sort of repetitive. 99% of those surveyed had two or more automobiles worth on average $100,000 each. Therefore, Americans are very wealthy. All right, yeah, that's basically the same as the other example.
Yeah.
So that's kind of boring. Sorry about that.
So let's think of one. Like, you can say, for example, that according to a study, 95% of the German men prefer to do cocaine.
Oh.
And then you find out that they surveyed 100 people in front of a club in Berlin.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's the same. These are, you know what?
That's the, that but maybe goes the same way.
But maybe the bias sample is just that simple of a fallacy. So it's not... It's not like the examples are going to be like
complicated. It is pretty niche. Like, you know, you can use it only in certain situations.
Hmm.
It's a sample. Like,
say more.
How many times in your daily exchange of communication do you cite samples and studies? So
I don't know, every 10 minutes. I'm just always citing numbers and facts.
Yeah. He's all about them facts.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you think about it, it's a pretty narrow use of argumentation and of information in general.
So maybe we should look at the structure of it. It's like, what you're leading up to right now is that the structure of it is, it's so limited that it sort of only applies to certain situations.
Yeah.
So there has to be a survey or a poll, first of all.
Mm.
Without a poll... Because it's a biased sample.
Yeah, study.
So here's something that we haven't thought about. Could be like a genetic thing. Like if you pluck some cells from like 1,000 Americans had their ball hairs plucked. I don't know. I'm told you I'm very bad at coming up with examples. I think I've mentioned this in many episodes. Okay, not ball hairs.
You're plucked. You're not very creative, then. You're not a creative.
I think that's quite creative. Like, come on.
If you're 14.
All right, so let's say you get 1,000 Americans who get like the back of their throat scraped. Mm-hmm. I don't know. In the winter.
That sounds better. Why should it be in the winter?
I don't know. Why are they scraping their throats? I can think of many reasons why they'd be plucking the ball hairs. I just can't figure out why they're scraping the throats. Some kind of bacteria.
So where are you getting at with that?
So let's just say you get some cells, you know, like from somebody, you know, you say skin cells.
Okay.
And it's like, I don't know, melatonin, blah, 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 from like sun exposure or some kind of shit. It's like...
Actually, it's not the melatonin that colors your skin. It's a hormone, not a hormone, but a chemical that... It's being
actually,
produced.
I think it is a hormone, but anyway.
Melatonin is a hormone, but the thing that I'm talking about is not a hormone. It's called melatosin.
What?
And this is actually what changes the color of your skin.
All right.
So it's not melatonin in general, and it's a common misconception.
Melatonin isn't it? It's a pigment also. So it's like,
no, the whatever. Melatonin itself, it's not the pigment. I think that the melatonin is the pigment.
Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, can I go on with my example?
Sure.
So anyway, you take a bunch of skin samples from people, and you're like, 50 of these people have like sun damage. Forget about melatonin. They have like, then 50% of Americans have sun damage. But of course, this sample was taken from people who live in Florida, and they're all on the fucking beach or whatever the fuck. Yeah. You know, a sunny beachy place where everyone's in the sun, and they took it from those people, not from the people who like hide in their house or some shit in the swamp.
Yeah,
because they probably would not have
That's
as many.
That's a very, very weak example. But
what
you're
are
right.
you talking about? It's exactly the same as the others, except this time it's like a genetic, like a biological sample,
as opposed to
a belief sample. Or what was the other?
As soon as you have a sample, you can apply that.
The wealth sample.
Yeah. Like you can even do...
That's all I'm saying is that the structure, the only variation in the structure is what the sample consists of.
If you have a sample, you can already use that.
Like it doesn't even have to be people.
Yeah.
So like
you have
it could
a sample,
be the water. Yeah.
Like if you have a sample, that's it.
So you have
a
sample of water from like, I don't know, 100 cities or 10 cities or whatever. And they're all on the west coast of the country, and it's like the water samples have a certain element in it that obviously you're going to find only on that western coast.
Piss.
And then, well, whatever. and it's like, you know, to say that all the waters of all the whole country have this thing based on the percentage that it's contained in the west coast is bullshit.
It is.
To buy a sample. All I'm saying is the sample is what changes. The sample is the interesting part of the biased sample. It's not...
You need the... In order to have a biased sample, you need a sample. And
right.
you want to have a conclusion about that sample.
Shit, I mean, I guess that's sort of obvious. But listen, we're trying to get some, you know, understanding, some deep understanding of this shit. So stop judging us, people.
Gosh.
My God. I feel like I'm naked. Well, maybe. No, we're on the street. Oh, by the way, we are at Zum Böhmischen Dorf in Neukölln. That's a lot of O's with umlauts over it. It's on Hobrechtstrasse and Pflüge. No, Zanderstrasse. Come check it out. They got cold beer. They got the frisches Tankbier, Pilsner Urquell. That's Pilsner Urquell for my English-speaking friends. Or... acquaintances, or just any random English-speaking people that might be listening. Yes, I guess this is a good time for a break. And we are going to be featuring some tunes from a good friend of mine, Joey Steele. He has probably at least 25 bands, and he's based in New York. He came out to Berlin a while back. I want to say it was last year.
Damn,
no.
25 bands. Man.
No, he's not in 25 bands. I'm exaggerating. But he's in several bands. And he's done amazing work ever since I met him. And yeah, I'm going to throw out at least one or two of his tunes tonight. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed. It's punk hardcore, I think. I believe. That's what it sounds like to me.
Haven't even listened to it.
And I have, but it's like I don't know which band I'm gonna even present. It's like, you know, it's anyway. He's in a band called All Torn Up, a band called Cop Out, and a band called Skullcaster. I think he even has another band called The Will. And then there's Joey Steele and the Attitude Adjusters. What was that, 5? So I got my work cut out for me.
All of them are active bands.
Yeah, to some level, I believe they're all active bands, yeah. You know, one is a cover band, so maybe that. But they are fucking amazing. From what I remember, when I was in the band, they were amazing. Totally kidding. No, but I've heard them since then, and it's amazing. So I'm going to be rocking some of those tunes in a minute. So sit back and enjoy the music. We'll be right back.
don't know the kind of people that live. I know the type they destroy and erase. It's a deadly pattern of their behavior. They couldn't do anything. They would have murdered me. Now you've got 30 seconds to change or 30 seconds to die. What?
We are back. Whatever it was you just listened to, which was probably awesome, because Joey Steele is a very good musician and he has very good taste in hardcore and music in general. That band, Joey Steele and the Attitude Adjusters, I mean, they're no joke. Like horns, you know, like trumpet. Once had a sax. It's for fucking good shit. Anyway. More of that good shit coming up later. You know, we've kind of exhausted this whole, biased sample thing? And I guess we're going to throw in, I mean, this episode is also sort of dedicated to the Hasty Generalization.
Yeah.
It's almost like they can't really go anywhere without each other. They're in love. So, earlier, are we recording? Good. Jesus. I really do have to check. Evgeny came up with this idea of hybrid fallacy. So let's just try to come up with some hybrid fallacies. I was thinking that the appeal to authority. Now, we didn't really talk about this on the episode, but I think that most people who are listening to this probably already have like an idea of this basic fallacy, appeal to authority. It's like, you know, you say, well, Professor Johnson says that this genetic trait is passed down only through the mother, you know. Professor Johnson, it's like nobody knows who he is.
Like, yeah, but for you, he's a smart guy and you're kind of counting on his opinion.
Exactly.
But I can give you a
but that's just, but that's not a hybrid fallacy yet.
No,
but
no,
I'm
no,
saying
no,
I think that
yet.
That can be
combined. I could make it a hybrid fallacy.
Okay, let's
right
do it.
Now.
Let's
so
do it.
Professor Johnson, he's saying that 98% of the men in Amsterdam are gay, and he's a very smart guy, and therefore I would bet my money on him. There you go.
That's not a hyper fallacy.
It is.
I think what
it
you're trying to say.
It has the hasty generalization in it.
Yeah, but you didn't mention the sample size.
The biased sample. 98% of Amsterdam people, like, okay.
Yeah, but you didn't mention like where the sample comes from.
Okay. Insert comment. Not like
insert comment. What is this?
100
programming
Dutch people were surveyed,
polled,
and
yeah.
It turns out that 98% of them are gay.
Therefore 98%
of 98%
of
the Dutch people
are gay.
Should be gay.
Yeah. Are gay.
Are gay.
Yeah. So
that's
we take Professor Johnson or Dr. Johnson as the authority, and we say, well, Dr. Johnson did a study of 100 people, so it must be fucking true.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, the study results are clear. 100%, 98% have this trait, and yeah, so that's a good hybrid. So we would say that's appeal to authority plus hasty generalization.
Plus biased sample. Because you're asking
also of course
in a room full of gay people.
Yeah. Oh, but we forgot to mention that. Yeah. So you went to a gay bar to get this 100 people. It's like
No. One leads to the other. In order for you to have 100 people when 98% are gay people, then it means that you have vast majority of gays.
Yeah, but
of the sample.
What I'm saying is like it would have to be actually true that you went to like a gay neighborhood or a gay bar to get the sample because
no, you got the sample of 100 people and it turns out that 98% of them are gay. So,
but then that's not a biased sample. It's just a hasty generalization.
No, it is.
But if it's a random sample, it's not biased.
No, it's not a random sample. Like you, yeah, right, okay.
So it's both.
So what you're saying is that you need to point out where you've been. Yeah. I don't think that that's
necessary. No, in the survey, I mean, for sure, because if you don't know where the survey was conducted, then you actually don't know enough. And so...
So hasty generalization.
Also, in addition to biased sample.
All right. But here you go.
Anyway,
the,
I think
the trifecta.
Yeah, but I think we can do more.
We can do more than that, yeah.
So now, so let's say we got appeal to authority, hasty generalization, and biased sample. What else can we throw on top of that? Can throw a straw man in there. But then you would have to go all the way to the beginning. You would have to say, because a straw man is a refutation, it's ignoratio elenchi, it's the misunderstanding of how to refute something. So there always has to be a preceding argument. So let's say that somebody says that, oh, this is going to be weird because it has to fit this gay thing.
I have another example after that one.
Okay. I think I'm going to try it with this one. So somebody in the Netherlands says that gays are should be should have the same rights and so on and so forth as non-gays. Mm. And then some Dr. Johnson comes up and he's like,
hey, I'm Dr. Johnson.
Dr. Johnson is like, oh yeah, you say that? And he's like, well, I did a, oh no, no, somebody comes up and says, well, Dr. Johnson did a study of the Dutch people and said that he sampled 100 people in the Netherlands and 98% of them were gay. So, ha. You know, and so it's like you created a straw man. It's a terrible straw man. This person would definitely lose the argument.
It is a very bad
one. I'm so
one,
sorry.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's difficult to come up with the... I was trying to throw a straw man into that.
It is difficult.
You do it.
All right.
It's hard. But you got to stay with Dr. Johnson or Professor Johnson or whatever his name is.
Okay.
Like, you know, his thing with the 100 people study of gay...
I would throw in an ad hominem in this.
Oh. All right. How would you do it?
So, someone says, shut up. You are weird because you're gay. And then you refute, no, I'm not weird because apparently Dr. Johnson says that 98% of the Dutch men in 100 men surveyed in a Netherlands survey, it turns out that 98% of them are gay, which means that we are the vast majority, so I'm not weird and you're weird.
Yeah, but that's not an ad hominem within those three. It's actually just an ad hominem that's being used within an argument, like within a conversation.
Yeah.
The guy who's making the three other fallacies is not making the ad hominem, his opponent is.
Yeah.
It's tough. I would challenge anybody listening to come up with a three-plus hybrid fallacy. I mean,
we're gonna grade that shit.
No, three plus meaning like three fallacies or more within.
Yeah, three from starting from four.
Starting from four, so more than three. Yeah.
Yeah.
So four fallacies or more. I challenge.
Would it be like something universal, like you cannot fold something more than seven or eight times what it was like?
I don't know.
You know, there
I've heard that
you cannot
like
fold.
Magic.
It's right up your alley. Like
it's
you should
true.
Know that.
I should. I need
but
to get. I have to get new crystals.
Would it be? Would it be like something universal like that? Like you cannot use more than five fallacies at the same time.
It's like I don't know. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I was gonna say like it's some Jedi shit.
Jedi mind tricks.
But fuck that. It's more like a Vulcan.
Some Jedi shit.
Nah, Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek is a better.
I mean, it's just
in my opinion.
It's definitely a better universe. because it's like these people trying to achieve utopia, and in some
superficial
way they do, but there's like pure chaos in this fucking universe.
Yeah, in the space there
in
is.
Space is chaos, like no matter what. But like all these, like, and what do you call them? The Federation. They think that they got
USS.
All.
The USS.
Yeah, the Federation. What, Starfleet?
Starfleet, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
But the Federation is like the even bigger organization.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah, you're inside a Federation boundaries, so yeah.
Yeah, so when the Federation,
are,
yeah.
When they are fighting in the original series, the Klingons, and in the later series, like the Next Generation, they're fighting the Romulans.
And the Cardassians.
The
Kardashians.
The real Kardashians were.
No, but
the
it was Cardassian, right?
It was the Cardassians, yeah.
That is insane. That like, somebody was like, what can we call these people on
these
this
ugly people?
And what, you know, it has to sound foreign. So we're like, well, let's look at all the different
let's call them the Kardassians.
Yeah. I mean, they could have taken it from like a Armenian last name.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's probably not an uncommon
name.
Maybe
there was I want to make a joke, but
yeah,
I
you're
forgot
failing
the word.
Terribly.
I forgot the word. Yeah.
That's all right. Don't worry
fuck
about
that.
It. I don't know. So I guess we should kind of, well, that freestyling was fun, but Evgeny's terrible at it, so. I know I said no trolling, and that's technically not trolling because everybody knows I'm just fucking around. I'm not like actually, you know, because, you know, trolls, they suck your time.
And your dick.
Okay. I didn't know about that part. That's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
I guess I've been
you should try being
finding
a troll
the
for
wrong
once.
Wrong trolls. So, yeah, on the 23rd of September, this episode will air on RBL Berlin. Hope you learned something from it. I know that the bias sample and the hasty general...
Wait, sorry, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who are you saying that to?
To them.
They're already listening on the 23rd of September. I hope that this will air on the 23rd of September.
No, I didn't say I hoped.
You
I said this
on
will.
On 23rd of September.
This will air.
You're stating to someone that is listening to this exact thing that it's going to air where they are actually
listening. But it's
listening
the 18th
it.
Right now. You're trolling me right now.
No, that, no,
I said
no,
no trolling.
What I'm saying is that
don't make
doesn't
me hit,
that
don't
doesn't
make me
matter.
Take a break. Don't make me take a break. You're trolling me right now. Listen, you're probably right about that. But
that
anyway,
doesn't make any sense.
The first live one will be on the 30th. How about that? A week from today. Technically,
yes.
More than a week because it's actually not the 23rd yet.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, I hope you learned, you know, despite all the crazy shit from Evgeny. I hope you learned, you know, the bias sample and the hasty generalization. A bias sample is basically a non-representative sample, and a hasty generalization is basically, I would say, you can call it like a small sample size fallacy.
Yeah,
it's too small.
Insufficient sample size.
Try to come up with some of your own hybrid fallacies. That would be awesome if you could tweet at us, you know, or just comment on this post on the website or wherever.
At
Facebook.
Twitter. At Voices from the Dark.
Just go to the website. You'll see everything there. Check out bornfromthedark.com/voices. Also, check out RBL Berlin, which is where you're listening to this right now, probably. Live, technically, semi-live. Radio Banda Larga. .it, right?
Yeah.
First live show will be on the 30th. I guess that's pretty much it. I don't think I have anything else to say except for the next episode of Mistaken Ideas, which will be Mistaken Ideas number 5. The fallacy will be chosen at random. We chose the fallacy of composition. I'm just going to read it to you real quick. An example, which I think tells it.
No, don't.
No?
No.
Oh, don't read the example. All right, you guys have to look up the examples and bring them up on Twitter. Tweet at, you know, Voices from the Dark. And that's pretty much it. Fallacy of composition, that's the next one. It's actually quite interesting. I think it's definitely more complicated than the biased sample.
Or the generalization.
Or the hasty generalization.
Yeah.
And we could probably come up with some very interesting examples if we just put a little thought into it. So yeah, that's coming up on the next Mistaken Ideas. And do you have anything else you want to say, Evgeny, before we move on to some extra tunes?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it? It better be good. Now you're like...
Yeah, it's up here. Thank God for every day that you're alive.
Okay. You heard it. Thank God for every day that you're alive. This is Voices from the Dark. And yeah, we are drinking here at the Zum Böhmischen Dorf. And yeah, it's pretty much the episode. Please enjoy more music from Joey Steele and one of his several amazing bands. Peace.
And now we are indignant because the stuff we have done overseas is now brought right back into our own front yards. America's chickens are coming home to roost.
It was once again my morning with the dog watching out.